The Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio is on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Not too bad.
How's the weather up there and where are you, in Alberta?
Calgary. It's really warm. It's pretty much summer. It's like minus 10 and snowing, so that's pretty good for Alberta.
So we finally get to speak. When did I contact you the first time? The beginning of December?
Oh, yeah. That was a while back there.
We were waiting for your new album to drop.
Yeah, it was getting, when we released that video, we got so many emails, like from YouTube and Facebook, and, you know, it was kind of like one of those things where your inbox literally explodes.
Well, that was the thing. A friend of mine sent that to me because he knew I'd like it. And yeah, I guess he sent it as a gag, you know, because of the midget and everything else. And I'm just like, this is awesome. I got to get these guys.
And I saw your review for the CD, too. So obviously you enjoyed the rest of it.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
I think listening to the whole CD will give you more perspective on the band, because we do joke around, but some people forget, you know, that, and I think you pointed it out very succinctly that, you know, Canadians have an incredible sense of humor, right?
Yep.
And that's just the way we roll. Right? We kind of do everything a little bit lightheartedly. Even though we're dead serious about what we're doing, we kind of do it in a lighthearted way.
Exactly. And, you know, I know that pretty well because my wife's Canadian, so.
Oh, yeah.
I'm down with the whole thing. Poutine, donairs, the whole deal. You don't even get that out there, do you, out your way?
The poutine? The Montreal thing, for sure.
Well, maybe it's garlic fingers that you don't get out that way. There's something that you just, that's like a regional.
It takes about 10 years off your life eating those. But it's so worth it.
But it's worth it. I was just going to say that.
They're delicious, yeah.
All right, so if you're ready to roll, we can get rolling.
For sure.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema, your source for in-depth discussion of cult cinema and music. Tonight, we're heading down to Bearclaw Tavern to pound a few back with Dave Kahn of Canadian pagan progressive metal act Scythia on the Big Papa Online Network. I'm Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Third Eye Cinema, your source of music and film that matter. Cult, underground, independent, and generally falling outside the mainstream corporate boardroom paint-by-numbers bullshit. Tonight we journey to a bold new adventure and seek glory amid realms of sword and sorcery with Dave Kahn, guitarist, vocalist, and mastermind behind Canadian pagan metal maniac Scythia. Tapping into equal measures D&D, Tolkien, absurdism, and SCTV Tiles' Canadian satirical jocularity, Kahn and company bring an unusual degree of seasoned musicality, outside influence, and good humor to play, resulting in something far more than the standard fur-wearing, war-paint-festooned pagan act can deliver. Join us as we speak of Little People, Santa Claus, and Conquest with Dave Kahn of Scythia, only here on Third Eye Cinema. But first, you know exactly where we're going. Grab your furs and sheathe your swords, because we're heading down to Bearclaw Tavern.
Yeah.
listening to Third Eye Cinema with our special guest tonight, Dave Kahn of Scythia. Stay tuned.
From Rhapsody of Fire, and you are listening to a Third Eye Cinema. Enjoy!
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Christine from Leaf Ice, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema. Rock on!
Hey, this is Jason from Cauldron, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. That was pretty fucking clean, eh?
It was. First shot, and you got it down.
Right now? Oh, okay. Sorry. Hey, this is Kara from Mortillery, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Rock the fuck out. I don't know. You want me to do it again? Hey, it's Kara. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Okay, I'll do it again. Just play, like, all the retakes so people can laugh at it. Hey, this is Kara from Mortillery, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
How would you forget it as I go? You know, I tensed up, you know, under pressure. I don't know what to do. Hi, guy. Hold on, shifting the voice here. okay.
Hey, guys, man, this is Jackie Slaughter, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Rock on, brothers.
Hey, man, this is Jackie Slaughter from Skull Fist, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
I just got way too excited. I just kept getting more and more. Couldn't help it, man. Oh, sorry. I can try it again if you want. Okay. I'm going to do it like a super ascending, you know? Hey, guys, man. This is Jackie Slaughter of Skull Fist, and I just wanted to tell you that you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Yeah!
It's you.
You know, I mean, I just have this bipolar thing going on. I don't understand why I get so loud. Okay, I'm going to be really nice about this one.
Hi there, fellas. This is Jackie Slaughter. I'm from the band Skull Fist, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is Chris from Widow. And when I want really awesome cinema for real metalheads, I listen to Third Eye Cinema. So if you're true, listen up, man. I could do this shit all day, man.
Okay, hi there, this is George and Thomas from Serenity, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema Show together with Team.
That's right.
Should we do it one more time? Okay. So, hi there, this is Georg and Thomas from Serenity, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Okay, hello, this is Trollman from Trollfest, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Keep it real, people.
Hey, this is Homer Simpson. Why don't you do yourself a favor and check out the new Eden Security album? It's called Symphony of Sin. I love it, especially when they give away free donuts.
I'll do your normal one if you want.
Sure, go ahead.
Hi, this is Paul Logue from the band Eden's Curse, and you're listening. Sorry, mate, I forgot your station. Hi, this is Paul Logue from Eden's Curse, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Check out the new album, Symphony of Sin. Keep rocking. Stay cursed.
Greetings, pathetic mortal scum. This is Chris from Gloriana, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
That's my evil wizard.
Wow, that was great. Can you do one in the pirate voice?
Sure, I could be Captain Chris from Aelstrom if you want that.
Sure.
God, all I do is put on fucking accents all day long. All right. Oh,
Ahoy there, shipmates. This is Chris from Hailstorm, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Yar.
Well,
I hate myself.
No, that was great. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Tonight, we're talking metal, and we have with us the guitarist, vocalist, and the man with a plan behind a fairly unique band from our friendly neighbors up north, tapping into equal measures D&D, Tolkien, absurdism, and SCTV-style Canadian satirical jocularity. Con and company bring an unusual degree of seasoned musicality, outside influence, and good humor to play, resulting in something far more than the standard fur-wearing, war-paint festoon Taken Act can deliver. With a highly amusing video currently making waves over the internet and a brand new album in tow, ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming the man behind a fascinating Canadian pagan metal act you should be paying attention to, Mr. Dave Con of Scythia. Dave, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
How you doing, Gene?
You guys have a very interesting approach. I mean, on the one hand, you're very much pagan power metal in the vein of acts like Hailstorm, Teresis, Arcona, and the various troll acts like Trollfest and Fintroll. But then you take the bombast, the danceable folk tradition, and tongue-in-cheek comedy of acts like those and tag in some surprisingly competent musicianship. I mean, I'm hearing an 80s prog influence, not so much stuff like Gentle Giant or King Crimson, but things like Saga and Rush with touches of Fate's Warning as well. Where are you pulling all this stuff in from?
Well, a lot of the bands you listed there were bands that, you know, we've listened to, or I listened to growing up, writing this stuff. When I was a kid, man, it was the 90s. Everyone remembers that 90s, right? Like,
Yeah. Now
I'm finding great bands that were starting in the 90s. Like, you know, Blind Guardian, Opeth got their start in the 90s, you know. But at the time in the 90s, it was all grunge music and sort of this weird industrial metal.
Yep.
So for me, I was really drawn to the old stuff. First band I ever got into was Sabbath at the age of 8. And got into, you know, from there, just, you know, started with the really big ones, you know, Metallica, Priest, Maiden. Then it got more and more obscure, got into Sabotage after that, you know, and then bands like Riot and, you know, just kept digging and just like, oh, man, these 80s bands are awesome. Really loved Testament growing up, too. And the progressive element was really cool. Like, I really loved that about bands where they could be metal, but then they could, like, have all these dynamics and other influences in there.
Actually, it'll be before this one airs. I actually got Steve Zetrosouza from Legacy, which became Testament, and then Exodus on the show. So I'm definitely there with that. That was my stuff. I was an 80s meddler, and I gravitated really fast to the underground. So that was definitely my school of music.
Yeah, and, you know, Testament especially, you know, they did some really cool stuff, like Return to Serenity, the ballad song. It was like, that was such a cool ballad. You know, it wasn't just straight up thrash. There was, like, so much else in there.
So beyond Jeff Black's prominent but never really domineering symphonic keyboards, you bring a uniquely melodic guitar style to your harmony leads and solos. I mean, it's not overly flashy and technical, but something more difficult to achieve in all too rare metal these days, which is a very smooth, there's no other word but melodic feel that sounds right to the ear, trained or no. So where did you draw influence from?
You know, the whole harmonized thing, I think that really came, well, actually probably more from the modern metal acts. I think watching a lot of the Metalocalypse shows, especially, like, I saw that a few times, like, they're just joking around, but they get these really sweet lead guitar harmonies and stuff. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And, you know, I've always studied a bit of classical music and stuff, too, so I know how to kind of throw in a few twists in there and use some scales that, you know, might not be strictly metal, just to kind of spice things up a bit.
You also approach a more Ted Pilot-style baritone with your native tenor vocals, which was somewhat unusual even before every single band decided to go with the growling and screaming approach over clean singing. And I'd be truly remiss if I didn't mention Celine Durval, who's quite simply an amazing drummer. I mean, you have the usual D-bass trigger-style double bass thing going on, but if you know what to listen for, she's thrown in all sorts of complicated off-meter syncopation in her fills and footwork. You know, I haven't heard too many bands recently where I found myself tuning right into the drumming and staying there. So I got to ask, does she come from a jazz or an R&B orientation? Because there's more than rock and metal playing into that.
She does. She never studied jazz, but I guess her first band that she was in, the band that she kind of learned to play drums from, was made up of, it was a three-piece. It was sort of a really hot, like, instrumental sort of jazz, kind of jazz psychedelic band. And
right.
So that's sort of what defined her sound. And then she mixed that in. She was really into Fear Factory when she started. So she kind of mixed that with the really kind of driving Fear Factory style stuff.
And, you know, I don't want to leave Terry out, so I'm not leaving you out, Terry. I'm just not picking up the bass that much in the mix, so I can't comment on that. I'm not singling you out. So let's talk of Conquest, which is actually the fourth in a progression of releases. My personal favorite, which I'd love to get a copy of, is Of Santa, whose cover features Jolly Old Saint Nick, sword in hand with Rudolph at his side, gesturing off to an icy kingdom in the distance.
And with a herd of polar bears in the background, too.
That's just about the funniest damn thing I've seen since my own band recorded Santa Sucks back in the day.
It was, that song was pretty funny, actually, because our producer at the time, he's like, you know, you guys seriously need a Christmas song? And I'm like, come on, man. And he's like, no, you know what? I'll do it for free. He's like, if you guys write a Christmas song, he's like, I'll record it and everything for free. And I'm like, all right, well, we won't reject that. So we made it about basically going to Santa's place, who lives in a fortress, and getting in a drunken brawl with him, and then with his elves, and then escaping on his polar bears.
Wow. Like I said, I'd love to get a copy of that one.
we just do digital distribution on that because it's only 3 minutes long.
Awesome. So, appropriately enough for a band singing about adventures at sea, Krakens and Leviathans, you had this album produced and engineered by Lassie Lammer, who worked with both Alestorm and Gloryhammer on the production and recording end. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I thought was really strange was that you actually recorded in both Germany and Edmonton, Alberta, and then mixed in Finland. What the hell was going on?
That, you know, it's sort of like, let's make this fun, guys. You know, let's kind of go big on this record, and not just big in terms of using great people, but, you know, let's have an adventure. If we're going to write about an adventure, let's go on an adventure to get it recorded.
Right.
That's exactly what we did.
So you just went all over the world. You like the Stones with Exile on Main Street, where they recorded in like 3 or 4 different studios, and every track sounded different.
No, well, we tried to keep everything consistent, and we did each part. We did most of the recording in Germany, and then came home and recorded vocals and some keyboards here, and then went to Finland to get it mixed and mastered.
Wow.
But we decided on our next record that we have to go even further, so we're going to go get our next record produced in China and then mixed in Kenya.
The best thing is you could be serious about that. We wouldn't even know. And, you know, since it was mixed and mastered in Finland, you got Timo Montaja from Wintersun to do a drop-in guitar solo.
He was hanging out at the studio. Like, he had his own little rehearsal room there. And Nino, the guy mixing it, was like, because he mixed Wintersun back in 2004, and he's like, you want to meet the guitar player from Wintersun? I'm like, oh, yeah, for sure. So I met him and talked to him, and then he's like, you want him to do a guitar solo for you? And I'm like, no, that's not possible. That's not, you're just pulling my leg here.
Wow. So the first thing I want to tap into in particular is Merchant of Sin, which is noted not only as the merchant in the liner notes. So did you change your mind on that one?
Oh, you found our first typo.
I don't know. I figured maybe it was delivery. You're playing with people. But until you get to the particulars about Ragnar and getting press ganked into working on a sailing vessel, I thought this was about, like, the corporatocracy and how they're selling us all down the river in the name of short-term profit while lying through the teeth the whole time. You could apply it either way.
I suppose you could find a metaphor in there for sure.
Were you thinking on bigger levels, or was it just like having fun and the hell with it?
I think for that one, actually, we wanted something a little more straight ahead. And part of the thing we were going for in this record was to kind of have the tracks be almost standalone tracks, so you didn't have to listen to the whole record. Because some people, you know, don't like concept records.
Right.
They just like to get 12 tracks that can appear randomly on their playlist. So having a bit of ambiguity in the lyrics and the delivery kind of allowed us to say, you can just listen to this song on its own. You can just listen to Bear Claw on its own.
And speaking of which, next up we have Bear Claw Tavern. That video. What was the impetus for bringing the little person to the proceedings? Because he certainly added a particular element of fun and frolic to the whole affair.
We went to film it, and he was just at the bar drunk, and he wouldn't leave, so we had to include him.
That's actually how I discovered you, like I mentioned earlier. A friend outside the metal scene knew I was into Alestorm, so he sent over the video as a gag. And, you know, I enjoyed it so much, obviously I contacted you immediately.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is another one. Unlike, say, like Nancy the Tavern Wench from Alestorm, you're imbuing your material with a second level of subtext. I mean, you could easily take this as a fun-loving, party-hardy drinking song with strong D&D by way of Conan the Barbarian overtones. But if you listen a little closer to what's being said, it's really very dark. I mean, you know, though the rain is pouring down, my spirits are still high, reckoning days fast upon us, but still I've got to cry. It's not your typical metal drinking song. You know, I couldn't picture Alestorm, Teresa's or Fintro recording lyrics like that.
Well, it's always having a bit of contrast in United Drinking, right? Like he's determined to do it despite, you know, the weather conspiring against him.
Right. And the fact that he's getting press gang tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Irish and British Isles have a long history of this sort of grimness and realism in their barroom standards, but most of what we come to see is the traditional drinking song. It's very Americanized in tone. You know, it's upbeat. There's not a care in the world. And for all his apparent cheery and some fun, Bear Claw Tavern is decidedly not that.
Interesting take on it, because, you know, I don't know if you always analyze my own writing. I just kind of do what fits, right? So it's interesting to see that you're picking up on some dark undertones in the music. I wouldn't disagree with you by any means.
So it's totally unintentional.
Kind of, but I guess what we're trying to capture too is this whole idea of going away, right? So it's kind of like my last kick, and no matter what it's like outside, I'm going to make this good.
And in fact, the entire album takes a very atypical and mature approach to this sort of tale. I mean, you've got this kid who sets forth with dreams of glory and adventure in his eyes. He winds up seducing and becoming a sailor. He realizes he misses his friends and home. He gets into this battle with the Kraken, winds up shipwrecked and fighting barbarians. And finally, he finds himself this right turn into Arthurian legend. But what's notable there is that after all this, and with a chance of glory in his hands, the very thing he always thought he wanted, he chooses to reject that path and return to what he always really wanted, which was the security of home and hearth. Which is
wait, did you listen to the record and actually understood the concept? Oh my God!
I know it's a rarity in the middle.
The way you just articulated that was perfect. That's bang on. Like I couldn't say it better myself.
But it's fascinating because, in effect, you're saying that, you know, he becomes a man when he realizes that all these glittering dreams were just that. You know, in that moment, I came to see a different way of living, another way to be, the silhouette of a man I could see, and by the gods, he recognizes me. And again, in the final track, in my place in life, I understand to never wield a sword is no defeat. This is, like, jaw-dropping stuff, particularly when it comes to metal and the sort of fantasy sword and sorcery milieu pagan power and black metal so often tap into.
Well, you know, we're really trying to... Even though we're kind of obviously flirting with that on a very overt level, you know, on a more subtle level, we're trying to avoid that, you know, the really kind of grade four level stories that some albums tend to lean towards. And, you know, we're trying to do what we do with a bit of maturity and a bit of insight and offer something, you know, of growth in the albums. That's really sort of what all our tales kind of take.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was like a slap in the face to all this, like, pro-military propaganda they used to get kids to join up. Like, you know, when you recognize there's more to life than these sort of dreams of conquest and glory, then you've attained maturity and existential authenticity. And, you know, that's what makes a man. That's how tough you think you are. Which, you know, again, is something that comes with age and experience. But to hear this on a metal record, especially a pagan power metal record, I was like, what? What am I listening to? So I have to imagine all this was deliberate.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's sort of like I don't even consider us to be pagan metal, really, because we're not talking about Vikings or any of that stuff. To be honest, we really kind of avoid that because, you know, it's not really part of our culture. I like enough of those bands, but really my inspiration came from prog and power metal.
And yet you guys are going around, you know, talking about dreams of conquest and glory, and there you are in the video all dressed up in furs and all.
Yeah,
deal.
But we kind of... The thing, yeah, it's sort of, it's, I guess we kind of have two different takes on the band. We have this image of pagan metal, and then there's the actual content, which I think is much more refined than just, you know, glorifying battle and drinking songs.
Yeah, and again, even in terms of the music, it's really impressive. I mean, this is heavy stuff for metal, and it's not what you're used to hearing. I mean, it's not that there's any great musicians out there, obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be listening to it. But the fact that you're bringing in something more, something that you don't normally hear in the genre, is saying a lot, and I was really impressed by that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes from progressive metal especially. You know, I think of, for instance, Switzerland's Silent Memorial. They really kind of have this, and, you know, some of the Dream Theater stuff really kind of taps into different mental states and kind of gets a little bit more higher level with their, you know, interpretation of concepts.
I mean, even you could go into the same thing like Cynic and all that, because if you're going into not only lyrically and philosophically, but musically, there's stuff that's coming in out there. Like, well, wait a minute, is that Frank Zappa I'm hearing there? You know, where's that coming from?
Exactly.
So you guys are self-released, and you've always been self-released.
That's right.
What kind of obstacles does that present, or advantages on the other side, compared to being signed to some sort of a label and having them do promotion and handle, you know, setting up tours and whatever else for you?
Our press company is actually based out of New Jersey, and so that's Adrenaline PR. And so what we did this time around is we said, you know what, let's take a little bit more of an international approach. Let's work with an American agency to do the release for this record. And, you know, I've been keeping up with all the records that have been coming out in 2014 and seeing how we fare up. And it's kind of funny because, like, we're getting a lot of the same coverage that these other guys are getting that are much bigger. You know, we're being rated on a lot of the music rating sites. You know, people were anticipating this release, and it was really cool to see that happen. A lot of it was from the buzz of the Veracruz Tavern video, but also because, you know, we're working with a pretty premium PR company. As an independent artist, obviously all that's out of pocket, which is tough to deal with, but, you know, at the same time, you can get the same results and you don't have to bend to anyone else's whim. With that said, I know a few bands that have got labels, like bands in Vancouver and Canada and, you know, other parts of Canada that we kind of grew up with. And some of these bands move really fast. Like one guy, this one band called The Ancients, they're touring with Lamb of God. Like, I mean, you know, to get on those tours, I think there's still a level that we're missing. And that's kind of being the band that gets selected to do the Pagan Fest or, you know, to tour with Blind Guardian when they're coming through Canada and the States.
And since that is all out of pocket, you know, obviously you guys have like daytime jobs to make ends meet. So how hard is that on you, or are you seeing some sort of return based on the music? You know, is it more or less breaking even, or are you really in the red?
Well, I'll tell you what, Alberta in Canada is kind of like the Texas of Canada in a way. So it's, you know, there's a lot of work, you know, a lot of kind of hard labor work, and there's, you know, a lot of things to do here. And so we all have jobs. Like 40-hour week for me does not exist.
Right.
You know, I've worked, you know, 80 hours at my day job before, and then still put another 10 in for the band, or 20 in that week for the band, or
wow,
weeks I work less, I still throw it in for the band. So basically, like, I don't take vacations very often. I don't really have much of a social life. You know, well, I do, but it's all kind of tied in with business or band stuff.
Right.
And that kind of goes for a few of us in the band. We all pitch in. We all pay quite a bit for what we do, especially to get albums done. Now we're seeing more and more of a return. You know, it's just, I think a band takes 10 years to build if you're smart about it. You don't get lucky along the way. So, like, every year we see more and more online sales increasing. And with the technology today, you know, you can track all that stuff. You can see over time how many albums you've been selling online. CD Baby's cutting us checks more and more often now. We collect royalties here in Canada. And, you know, they're not, you've probably seen those shitty royalty checks that
yes.
guys get. They're not like that, to be honest. You know, I've got $50 quarters. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool to get that. And I do music commissioning as well. Like, independent movie guys will be like, hey, can you help me out with some music and stuff like that? So
right.
We do stuff on the side. I help out other bands producing records. So, you know, it's just basically the more you do this, the more successful you are, the more other people are drawn to it.
Exactly. And, you know, I was going to say, that just to clarify for anybody that's stealing space here, in the old days, they say, oh, yeah, a royalty check for $50 would be a joke. But that was when we had a solid music industry and people were buying physical media. Whereas now with, digital royalties, I mean, you hear some really horrible stories. I mean, people get like 3 cents and stuff. So to get a $50 check is pretty damn good.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you have any tour plans coming up for Canada or the States, or are you signed up to any of the European festivals?
Well, I think I can diverge. Let you know what we got planned so far. This week begins our conquest of the Northwest. We're doing some Canada dates and some Northwestern U.S. dates. Visas have been approved. We're ready to go. We're looking forward to crossing the border for the first time and playing to American audiences. And I got to say, it was really a pleasure to book and work with American promoters and musicians. It's really cool to see, you know, people in a different country that really embrace what you're doing and really want to help you out. Sometimes with Canada, it's sort of they get a bit complacent because you're from the next city over.
Right. Well, you know, nobody thinks badly of Canada. I was talking to somebody today about nothing to do with you guys, but just Canada in general. And everybody that you mention it to is like, oh, yeah, Canadians are great. So it's not like you walk into a country and feel like, ah, dirty Americans. It's like, okay, come on in. You guys are easy going.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else you'd like to plug, or did you want to point listeners to your website or Facebook page?
Mostly Facebook page is where we stay current. We do have a website, and then the website is www.cythia.ca, and our Facebook page is www.facebook.com/cythiametal, and those are where we stay most active. Also, if people are interested in checking out the music, we stream all of our records on Bandcamp, www.cythia.bandcamp.com, Cythia spelled S-C-Y-T-H-I-A.
So with that, Dave, I'd like to thank you again for joining us here on Third Eye Cinema, and we'd love to have you back to talk your next album.
Definitely, Gene. I really appreciate the background check there, man. That was awesome when you just nailed the concept for the record. All right, Gene.
All right.
Have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too. It was a pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. And to close out our interview with Dave, here's another one off of Conquest. Stay tuned for one final track after the close, but right now you're about to be Press Gang by The Merchant of Sin.
of death, a bringer of pain, your fate's in my hands.
for joining us tonight. We hope you enjoy our interview with Dave Constant here. Next time at Third Eye Cinema, we head down to the watery depths of Atlantis itself to speak of Von Daniken, Herbert, and the secrets of the cosmos with the overlord of Iron Savior, Pete Seal. If you'd like to contact us here, comment, suggestions, or you're a filmmaker or musician who'd like to join us in here, email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com, visit our website, thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema brought to you by the Big Papa Online Network. I'm Bob Talk. Here's one last track off of Conquest, really its most important one, philosophically and conceptually. This is where our hero comes to realize something very important about himself and the world around him. This is Departure. missed any part of this or any of the Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our website or Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Blog Talk Radio shows are available for archive listener download at your convenience. And next week?
Name of the show is Third Eye Media, right?
Or Third Eye Cinema.
Cinema. Okay, it says media here on my schedule. Okay, so Third Eye Cinema. So, hey, everybody, this is Pete Ziegler, Fire and Savior, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Have fun and enjoy the ride.
Nice. And in 2 weeks?
Just for practice, how do I say this? Third Eye Cinema. Yeah, okay. Hello, this is Diana van Giersbergen from Xandria and the Clippers, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Nice. Very dramatic, too. I like that sort of Maria Callas approach.
Hey, that's what I do.
I know, I heard Daughter of Corinth.
Yeah.